Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Well, with the Lord's help, we will conclude this message. And I've shared a lot of scripture with you, but I just want to really focus on the important points of a new heart. As we shared at the beginning, it's Ezekiel said, the Lord speaking, that God was going to take that a stony heart, that hard heart out of us, and give us a heart of flesh, a renewed heart. We're not only to have a renewed mind, but a renewed heart, a heart that is willing to seek God, to serve Him, to follow after Him. And we find one of the ways our heart is hardened is through the deceitfulness of sin, especially unbelief. Here, something from the New Testament, and this is Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, where the apostle is saying, harden not your heart as in the provocation in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart and have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And this was, he says in verse 7, this is the Holy Ghost saying today, if you will hear His voice. And beloved, we go through intense, sustained battles and trials. It's very easy. As we get worn down, the devil waits for opportunities like that. And just like the children of Israel, when they were thirsty, when things got uncomfortable, when they were hungry, they started to complain. They started to tempt or test God. And basically, that simply means to try God's patience. God had done so many things for them. They said, they didn't even appreciate the manna. Our soul loatheth this light bread. We actually, when we start to murmur and complain, we set ourselves in opposition to the Lord, not only trying His patience. And He wants us to trust Him no matter what comes our way. The devil is always trying to get you, beloved, to question God's goodness. Oh, you might accept that and acknowledge that in a general theological sense, but when it comes to your own life, it's like, God, if you love me, why is all this going on? It's a very natural human response. We don't like to hurt. And yet, like Jesus, if we'll listen, just like He, though He were a son and perfect, He learned obedience by the things He suffered. Sometimes, beloved, this life, we can have suffering in it. Now, I know that is not a popular message. Many preachers just give you the idea that we're called to peace, joy, happiness, and prosperity, and that, well, there may be a few trials coming along, but, you know, we just sort of push them, bump them out of the way, and we go on with victorious living. Well, that's, let's not have a unbalanced view of what Scripture tells us. You look at Scripture and you see that some of the choicest, most precious, most anointed people of God went through great and severe trials. In fact, remember when Paul was called and Ananias was called to pray for him that he would receive his sight, God showed him in the very beginning how much he would suffer for His name's sake. What a great calling. Oh, you know, we're calling you to, God, Lord says, I'm calling you to preach the gospel, Paul. And before you know anything else, I'm going to show you that you're going to have to suffer a whole bunch. You know, oh, great. Well, but that's why he was the giant of the faith that he was. And through him, God entrusted the writing the words of most of our New Testament because of the revelation that God gave him directly of his experiences. He was willing to die to self. He said, "It's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth within me." Beloved, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And that beautiful love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "Love believeth all things." So what's the answer to getting grousy and murmuring and mumbling in trials? It's simply to trust God, to know that whatever you're going through, it's not going to last forever, and God will make a way of escape for you. And also, beloved, if you've heard this entire message, we talked about the hard heart, the stony heart. Faith is a means of softening or purifying the heart. Listen to what Peter said in Acts, the 15th chapter, verse 9. Peter rose up. He was speaking of the Gentiles, his experience. Remember the sheet that came down, and God brought him to the house of Cornelius, and God not only saved them, he filled them with the Spirit. And Peter was telling the brethren, and God, I'm quoting, "put not difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." And beloved, he has given us a new heart, a tender, soft heart of faith. In Hebrews, that beautiful 11th chapter, it's an enumeration, if you will, of the heroes of the faith. And of course, we tend not to look at the last end of that chapter. They were sawn in sunder. They were they were put to the sword. We don't really want to read that, but they were the heroes of faith just as much. Hebrews 12:1 says he's addressing the Hebrews about faith at this point, and he goes on in that next chapter to say, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." And beloved, that's the word to many of you tonight. Just keep running the race with patience. God will bring you through this difficult time. Praise God. In Psalm 81:7, the word says, "Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah," Selah. You know, in our own life experience, how frustrating it is when you try to convey to someone how you think and how you feel, and they just, it goes over their head, they just can't hear it. They just have their own frame of reference. Well, that is what God is trying to establish with us, his people. He's wanting us not just to know about him. The people of Israel were familiar with God's acts. They saw what he did, but it was Moses with whom he spoke face to face, who knew his ways. And that's what God is after. He wants us to relate and to understand how he thinks, how he feels. He's after a mature son and daughter. He's after a glorious bride. And beloved, unequals don't marry. A man marries a woman who is his equal, who understands him and he understands her, and it's the most beautiful, the most intimate of all human relationships that is expressed in the institution of marriage that God established. But in a similar fashion, that same intimacy that is experienced in marriage, God wants with his people. Praise God. God has so much for us, beloved. And I just want to bring the message to the close. I don't really want to share anything. I trust you understand that in when we get tested and tried, we can be just like the children of Israel. We can tempt or test God. We can lose patience with God. And when we lose patience, that tries his patience, because how much has he done for you? Think back of all the ways that God has blessed you. Let's go to the Lord right now. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that even though we do go through trials and testings, Lord, they don't last. You are our deliverer. deliverer. We look unto you as our high tower, as the rock of our refuge. And we just praise you, Lord, for ministering to your people, for strengthening them, giving them strength to run in the race and to see your mighty hand move in their behalf. For my beloved, the Lord would say to you that I see the difficulties. I see the way that seems beset with thorns and stony places, but know that I am going before you. I shall cause you to walk an upward path, a path that is hallowed by my presence, a path that shall lead you to the very mountain of Zion, to the very presence of the Lord. Fear not. Know that I've heard your cry, and you will see my hand move in days to come. You will see, yea, an answer to your heart's cry, and you will see the deliverance that you have longed for, says your God. Praise God. Amen and amen. Well, it's been a joy to minister to you, and I know some of you are going through real difficulties, and God wants you to take a step of faith. God has anointed me to stand as a partner in prayer with God's people, as he did with Brother Glass when he raised up this ministry 50 years ago, and I invite you to write. Let me share a letter from a dear sister. She doesn't write very much, but she's in Henderson, North Carolina. That's where my Cherokee girlfriend lives. And she writes, "Dear Sister Judith, first I want to thank you for your continued correspondence month after month, year after year, your willingness and faithfulness in following the Lord's leading. Your story has been a soothing balm to my soul. Your words of encouragement and instruction and guidance from the Lord have been uplifting in my circumstances. The shadows of darkness have not prevailed. Your pilgrimage draws us ever closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you also for the daily Bible reading calendars. And let me just pause for a moment. If you would like to be part of my spiritual family, I do encourage you to write and share your mailing address, because toward the end of the year, I always mail out daily Bible reading calendars, which I follow myself, and my prayer partners have dearly loved to have them, because it's a way of reading through the Bible in the whole year. And she goes on to say, "I have never read through the Bible in 1 year, but I can say it kept me focused, and for the first time ever, I finished reading the Bible and mulling over, starting in January all the way through to December. Praise God." So she says, "From my heart to yours, as moved by his Spirit, your sister in Christ," writing from Henderson, North Carolina. So, beloved, whatever your needs are, God is mindful. I will stand with you in prayer, and I know you'll be blessed by whatever God sends back to you through my letter. God bless you. I love you. Thank you for your prayers and your support in the Spirit, as well as your financial help. Until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh, behold.